Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets. Tori here, joined with Miles, and we have a new guest today, Sick Rob, with the same wise old sage, different voice. But that being said, Miles, why don't you kick off the weekly recap?
Sure. Let's take a look at what the charts have done here over the last week. There's two very distinct trends. So we'll kick it off with gold starting the uptrend. Gold up about 0.5%. So it doesn't sound like too much, but it had a couple percent movement down and then back up. So it's closing out our recording week here on Wednesday afternoon at 29.36 and looking pretty strong back above 2,900. As usual, not to be outdone, gold goes up, silver goes up more. Silver's up about 4% here over the last week, sitting back above $33 at $33.22. Platinum up about 2.5% and just inching towards that $1,000 mark again, sitting currently at $990. And palladium also up about 3%, still below platinum at $946, but showing a little strength in its own right as well. On the flip side, we talked about the uptrend. Let's talk about the downtrend and kick that off with the U.S. dollar down another 3% here over the last week.
Wow.
Yeah, down to 103.5. So dollar remains in free fall now for the last couple of weeks, and it looks like it's dragging the equities markets with it. So I've got a couple here. I'll run through it pretty quickly because this is kind of interesting. The S&P down 7%. To 55.77, now down over 10%. The Dow Industrials, a little bit more conservative, you know, the 30 biggest stocks on the market right now, down 4.5% to 41,560, and from top to bottom, down about 9%. So keeping pace with the S&P, S&P down 10, Dow down 9. And just for fun, you know, whenever we see a big market move like this, I do like to jump over and check the Dow transportation average. Dow transports down 5% over the last week, 14,670. Now, the transport started down a few months ago. The other markets continue to put in highs. The Dow Transport started their decline and topped out back on November 25th. The Dow Transports, fellas, are down 18% now over the last couple of months. And finally, because a lot of the market movement that we're seeing is the tech stock bubble, if we can use the word bubble, don't want to offend anybody.
We're in an everything bubble, so go ahead and use it.
Yeah, the everything bubble. So I wanted to check the NASDAQ just for fun. The NASDAQ down only about 3% this week. It's at 11,590. But in that same period as the S&P and the Dow here over the last couple weeks, the NASDAQ down a total of 13%. So guys, I got to tell you, it feels like we're seeing a bit of a trend shift here. You know, with gold holding, we had the big run-up in gold, and one of the ways you shake that off is you can have a big retracement, which gold didn't do. And the other way you can shake that off is just trading sideways, which it looks like gold is doing. Now, on the flip side, the paper markets, you know, we're not screaming bear market yet, but is definitely starting to take some steps that direction. So amidst seeing this type of trend shift, you know, one of the big things, I'm a big fan of charts because they tell you how people are reacting to the market. But the big question is, what are they reacting to? And that's when you need to bring the macroeconomic viewpoint and the fundamentals in. So Tori, last week, Rob made mention of some research and some information you've put together and said we were going to go into that this week. So I'm interested, having not received a pre-recording packet with preset questions for us to ask you. Thanks for that, by the way. We're winging it along with the listeners here today. So, Tori, but I am interested to see what you're going through when we're looking at this from a more fundamental standpoint. What the heck is going on in the market right now?
Well, we've talked exhaustively over the last number of weeks and really since the election about things like optimism and GDP, what's inflation doing, what are the potential rate cut outcomes going to be and what the Fed's going to do, things like tariff and trade war and geopolitics. Those are all familiar things that we talk about on this show all the time. And in order for us to see a significant change in the metals prices, in any of the metals, you'd have to see a significant change in one of those categories. Well, we've seen a lot. I mean, certainly tariffs and trade wars have, I mean, listen to those weekly numbers you just recapped in the equities markets. Yeah. That doesn't happen without the tariff and trade war concerns.
Right.
Right? So there's a lot happening there. But what it falls into, so we subscribe as a company to this outfit called Hedgeye, Hedgeye Risk Management out of Connecticut. These are brilliant, brilliant people that are analyzing all day, every day. I'm asleep while they're working and reporting, right? So to be able to lean on people who live in the macro is really nice for me, and to understand as we go through months and certainly quarters and years, some of it is kind of looking back and defining it, but they're really good at looking forward and trying to give their subscriber an opportunity at a glimpse as to what might be coming on. Now, again, they focus on the macro. That macro really comes down to things that we talk about on the show, and that's growth. So in the form of GDP, I mean like economic growth. The second category is inflation. So what's going on? Are we in inflation? Are we in disinflation? Are we in deflation? And then the third component is policy. And we all know, we talk about policy on here all the time. You know, what monetary policy, what fiscal policy, what government laws, regulation type of policy is playing a role at any given time. And so they take all that into account, and they've developed this really ingenious system called the quads. Here's an image that kind of describes and shows you the basics of their quad. So we've got top left quad one, top right quad two, bottom right quad three, bottom left quad four. So you've got the X and the Y axis here. And, you know, it's really important to understand that the X axis, okay, anything that is moving north is going to be growth. Okay, so anything moving above that line means that you have growth accelerating. All right. Anything below that line means that you have economic deceleration. So growth is shrinking. Well, with the y-axis, anything moving to the right of that y-axis means inflation is increasing. And anything moving to the left means that we have disinflation or deflation, right? Inflation is decelerating. And so that's really how the quads came into effect, because they could look and say, all right, these two things combined with policy means that every month, they used to track by quarter, but now they track by month, every month and every quarter falls into one of these quads. So for the sake of today's exercise, we're going to focus on quad four, all right? Quad four is defined as growth decelerating and inflation decelerating. So really what that means is that there's more of a deflationary concern. We're not seeing any deflation, but you would think that that would be bad for almost every asset class, right? When there's no growth and inflation's decelerating, certainly that's going to be a strain. And lo and behold, obviously a lot of asset classes are going to be doing poorly, such as the equities markets. And that's what we're seeing.
Well, back up for a second. When you talk about deflation decelerating,
inflation decelerating. So any form of deceleration in the inflation, like we know we're under a lifetime experience of inflation, right?
Right.
But when it slows down,
right?
Like when it decelerates, it's
right.
either disinflation.
Inflation decelerating.
That's right. Yep. Or it's deflation, right? That's like a...
Can be.
Yeah. I mean, very, very rare that we actually see prices dropping.
And we actually do know the classic definition of inflation and deflation is the increase or the decrease of your money supply. So we get that, but we're talking about the effect.
The effect, yes. A lot of it is the
when
effect,
we use
but some
term.
Of it is money supply, because
yeah.
money supply gets shrunken down when you see economic contraction, you see market
sure.
contraction, right? Like what we've seen. So you guys, I mean, what, the S&P 500 and cryptos alone have lost $5.5 trillion since February 20th. That's losing $380+ billion a day in market share, in market cap. That is incredible.
And typically, now here's what's unusual, is that when you have a sell-off occurring in the equities market or in like the crypto market, for instance, so money is leaving those markets and typically it goes into the dollar. So you have a double whammy of the dollar falling precipitously as well as the equities market falling. So where is the money going?
It's fleeing into safety. It's going into metals, certainly. Yeah. You're seeing some of that, commodities in general.
Yeah.
Even though if you break down these quads, okay, and quad four, really a general term for it could be deflation, but from a monetary policy standpoint, like if we think about how would the Federal Reserve respond to shrinking GDP, obviously the labor market softening, but also a disinflationary environment? Well, they're probably going to be considering cutting rates. It's going to be a dovish type of mentality or outlook.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're seeing. So for the sake of this exercise, I'm going to talk about quad four, because February turned into a quad four month. March is quad four, right? And the expectation for the second quarter in general for 2025 at this point, according to Hedgeye, they can change at any point because it's based on the numbers. It's not based on hope or optimism or some sort of philosophical projection. This is data driven. So they think the second quarter will be this quad four. So Miles, you talked about the fact that gold, it was relatively flat. The precious metals in general have been flat in March. Not a whole lot of activity. We've seen a little bit. But lo and behold, let me show you the typical performance in a quad four of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. It tends to be a very weak type of environment. It's the second best setup for gold. So because of the fear and concern and flight to safety that Rob described, gold tends to go up in the course of a quarter, 2.3%. Nothing to necessarily write home about, but that compares to silver's 0.38%, platinum 0.6%. That's flat.
Yeah.
Now, what does best in a quad four type of situation is fixed income. Rob, what are they moving into? They're moving into fixed income, gold, and usually the U.S. dollar. The dollar's getting shellacked right now for, again, the tariff and trade concerns. So there's always some exceptions. Those are the best asset classes. The worst asset classes tend to be equities, the credit markets, the Forex, the exchange, and then commodities. And again, that's kind of what we're seeing play out. So it's helping me to paint a bigger picture, because here's the other thing that Hedgeye does, and that is that they break down opportunities for investment into time frames. So a trade is something that's 3 weeks or less, you know, where you're making a trade within a 3 week period of time, you're looking for a very short term gain.
That's
or
pretty active
a short.
Management. Yeah.
Yes, very active. A trend is actually 3 months or less. So that's a little bit more in our wheelhouse, where we're looking at opportunities for moving in, moving out, helping educate clients on buying on the dip or selling on the spike, that type of thing. And then there's the tail. And the tail is a investment position taken where the activity is 3 years or less. And that's where the precious metals fall. The precious metals fall in like 10 years or less. So they don't define that one, but we're that long-term hold. But we can look at this data and these projections as opportunities for doing that education for our client and advising on, hey, here's kind of what these people are saying. It's not going to be 100% accurate all the time. It plays into what we're seeing with our fundamentals, which helps us with what Miles is feeding us on a technical chart standpoint, and seeing how it aligns with some of those Fibonacci retracements or maybe a resistance point to the upside. And that's what I'm excited to get into using. And so I'm going to put up one more image here so you can see how the metals have performed on a quarterly basis in a quarterly quad structure. So this doesn't represent monthly. I'm going to work on the monthly data and do a little deeper dive and see how that comes up. But, you know, quad four, nothing to write home about for the metals, but it is gold's second best. But look at quad one. And surprisingly, it was to me, the best asset classes in a quad one are equities, the credit markets, commodities, and Forex. And so that goes hand in hand with white metal performance. They're commodities. Gold is a money metal. Mm-hmm. Silver, platinum, palladium, commodities, right? We've talked about that here. And the worst asset classes are the fixed income and the U.S. dollar. What's not in the worst income class in a quad one is gold. And it's obviously also gold's best. It averages 5% a quarter in gains in a quad one type of an environment. Gold, by the way, finishes up in all four quads. So that also goes to the fact that it's the money metal, it's the geopolitical metal, it's the steady eddy, it's the predictable, appreciate over time, always buy gold. Anyway, I hope that's helpful. These images will certainly help. And whatever questions that stimulates, feel free to call us. But Miles and Rob, thoughts and how that ties into what you're seeing right now with the charts, Miles?
Yeah, I think that the thing that automatically jumps out at me with that is the fact that in this quad four period, where it sounds to me what you're talking about there is you're talking about flight capital moving into relatively safe assets. And like you said, traditionally, the US dollar would be one of those.
That's right.
Regardless of the reason we want to argue, whether it's geopolitical, whether it's tariffs, whatever, the US dollar is no longer considered that risk-off safety net asset that it traditionally had been. And I think you're correct in that we're seeing a lot of money that traditionally would have gone into treasury bills, even though we're looking at higher interest rates today than we had a couple years ago. In a less risky market, people are still moving into things like physical precious metals, and something I just looked up while you were talking, I'll mention here in a second. And that falls right in line with what we've been talking about over the last month or two. And that's the volume of gold moving from the top down. You know, the sheer amount of gold going into places like JP Morgan, who've been filling their coffers on a risk-off strategy. So, yeah, it's fascinating to me. I also wonder how much of this is a America-driven problem. Because while you were talking, and I'm trying to sit here and think to myself, okay, well, if money's coming out of the equities market, which it clearly is, we just looked at that when we looked at the weekly charts here a minute ago, and it is not going into the U.S. currency, where is it going? So just for fun, I went and pulled up the DAX, you know, the German market. Mm-hmm. The DAX is up 30% against the S&P this year.
Look at the Ukrainian market. It's the same way. And your point is legit. You're right. The quads are global. This is not a domestic phenomenon only. So you've got the G20 and you've got the emerging markets that have completely different quads going on at the same time that we're in a domestic quad four, where you're seeing quad two, for example, in Europe. So great point.
That's probably foreign investment leaving the U.S. We'd have to look into where that's coming from, and I honestly don't know how you would do that, but I have a hard time believing with tariff concerns coming into the U.S., which I hope not, but let's say that's followed with some type of repatriation tax. Now, I don't think it would be, because you know the whole point of tariff is ultimately to encourage U.S. manufacturing. Bring some of that production back stateside. So repatriation would be the wrong way to go, but some type of foreign taxation on U.S. investment overseas, which already exists, maybe there's an increase there to encourage more and more money to come back out of Europe and Asia and come into the United States. But what about the other way around? You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing European and Asian investors that are pulling money out of the U.S. equity markets right now.
Yeah, that's actually fascinating to think about, because the big players don't need just this playground to play, right? And
correct.
So there's a ton of money to be made in shorting markets. There's a ton of money to be made in emerging markets and the foreign markets in general. And that even goes for gold. I remember gold was just lagging here. It was down a couple years ago, and it was at an all-time high in parts of Europe and in Russia, right, after the Ukrainian invasion. And so you're right. I mean, this is a global economy, and we tend to focus on what is any particular asset or index doing in U.S. dollars, and that's a very microscopic view. I mean, we still may be focusing on the macro and the fundamental, but it's as it goes for the U.S. investor. And the U.S. investor, Rob, still hadn't stepped in.
Still has not.
Nope. Our market hasn't changed necessarily in terms of demand for the physical product in the
U.S.
No,
we're still busy, but it's not crazy.
No, it's not like it was in 2020, 21, and 22.
Yeah.
Right, where it was crazier after COVID. And it's almost like the West needs a crisis in order to really step in, rather than understanding that prices now are at a great value. And you guys, I'm feeling like we're on the verge of something, because Miles, you talked about the delivery aspect of, or the physical transfer of gold. And yes, it's coming out of England to the U.S. We talked about that.
And out of Zurich to the U.S.
And out of Zurich to the U.S. But these deliveries, the fulfillment of futures contracts in ETF stuff, we talked about it.
Never happened before.
Never at this level. Like, we've never seen this before.
And the lease rates where they went. Yeah. But again, it's like, you know, people here in the U.S. buy gold when it's a crisis. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Train's leaving the station. But I can tell you that with the focus that this administration has on slashing the government, finding the money, cutting the budget, why are they so driven? Why is this happening so quickly? Well, I can tell you why. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because we owe $36 trillion. Well, everybody knows that. Yeah, well, did you know they have to refinance $27 trillion in the next 4 years? That is a volcano ready to erupt of treasury paper into a market that there's not enough buyers for.
That's a great point. And our interest, the service on that debt is already approaching $1 trillion.
I think it eclipsed that.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do with 3/4 of our national debt that explodes into the financial market in the next 4 years? They have got to find a way to move that money into something else. Hence the talk of a sovereign wealth fund, the crypto kings meeting with President Trump a few days ago, the audit of Fort Knox. But if you audit Fort Knox and all 8,100 tons are there, it's still not even $900 billion. And you take that gold that's supposed to be at Fort Knox and divide it by the debt and the internal domestic money supply and the international supply of U.S. dollars, add it all up and divide it into gold, it's 1.3%. That's it. So all the gold we own at Fort Knox, supposedly, if it's there, is just barely over 1% of money in circulation in the national debt. So all this talk that people have about us going back on a gold standard, wake up. That is not happening. We do not have enough gold to go back on any kind of gold standard. It's just silly. And people are so mesmerized by what they see. Oh, great. We're in the right direction. Everything's going to be okay. Okay. I'm with you on that, and I am enjoying the show. I bring my popcorn every night, and I watch Laura Ingraham and Jesse Waters and try to stay awake to watch Sean Hannity. But, you know, politics is just kabuki theater. The real action right now is, how in the heck are we going to get our handle on our obligation without defaulting, without causing crazy inflation? They've got to divert the money into sovereign wealth funds backed by timber and oil and natural resources and, you know, pipelines, you name it, which is what McIlvany Wealth Management is already doing. So we're ahead of that game. But I can tell you that is a big rock to push uphill. That frightens me, because we are looking at an enormous burden that this administration knows that they have to figure out a way to deal with. So that's very motivating to me. If people are looking for motivation as to why to buy gold, look there.
So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. Help us out. Hit the subscribe button. Ring the bell so more of your friends can take a look at Golden Rule Radio each week. So if there's anything we can do for you and your personal precious metals portfolio, please give us a call. You can always reach us at 1-800-525-9556. You can find more info on our website, McIlvany.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvany Financial. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week.